3 minutes. That's all it took to begin changing everything. 3 minutes of running in a dark alleyway, gasping, stumbling, stopping. More than most people would consider real running. Yet those 3 minutes represented something far more significant than exercise. They were the first step in reclaiming a life stolen by anxiety. When your marriage collapses and you find yourself on the sitting room floor watching your husband walk away, you don't typically think, "I should take up running." But sometimes our most desperate moments push us toward the most unlikely solutions. This is the story of how one woman accidentally discovered that the simple act of putting one foot in front of the other could quiet a mind that had been screaming for decades. Bella Maki had spent her life running from problems, just never literally. Anxious since childhood, she'd mastered avoidance through magical thinking and elaborate rituals. By the time her marriage ended, she'd become agoraphobic. Her world shrunk to a suffocating bubble where panic attacks arrived uninvited and depression settled in like an unwelcome houseguest. 1 week into single life, something shifted. She put on leggings and walked to a dark alleyway near her flat, close enough to feel safe, quiet enough that nobody would witness her inevitable failure. With "She Fucking Hates Me" blasting through her headphones, she managed 30 seconds before her calves screamed. The remarkable part? She came back the next day. Those early attempts were pathetic. Seconds of shuffling, interrupted by freezing whenever anyone appeared. She encountered shin splints, wheezing, panic attacks, embarrassing falls. Running felt like a foreign language, spoken only by happy, bouncy people, not neurotic smokers terrified of everything. Yet despite her lifelong pattern of quitting, she kept trudging down that alleyway. Two things became undeniable. When running, she wasn't thinking about her failed marriage. And remarkably, she wasn't feeling anxious. Anxiety isn't worry on steroids. It's an entirely different creature. While normal nervousness fades after a job interview, anxious people watch worries mushroom despite success. That interview went well? Now you'll worry about the commute, panic attacks on day one, your dog dying while you're out. Mixed anxiety and depression affect 7.8% of people in the UK, making them the most common mental disorders. Physical symptoms mimic serious illness so convincingly that first-time panic attacks land people in emergency rooms. Chest pain, racing heart, dizziness, blurred vision. You cannot breathe. You are certain you will die. Writer Eleanor Morgan described walls feeling like putty while wondering what else, if not death, could be the end point of such physical and mental freefall. OCD isn't about color-coded closets. It's intrusive thoughts that stick. You might suddenly imagine harming someone you love and fixate on it with terror, developing compulsions like turning light switches on and off repeatedly or checking locks dozens of times. Social anxiety disorder isn't shyness. It's a crippling condition that increases substance abuse risk and suicide rates, affecting about 5% of Britons. Bella's anxiety started at 7 when her chest hurt during a school party. In secondary school, she developed OCD tics, compulsive swallowing, blinking, spitting to neutralize negative thoughts that consumed hours. At worst, she wouldn't recognize her own reflection. Loved ones seemed like cardboard cutouts. When you run, your anxious brain gets overwhelmed by immediate physical demands. Burning legs, swinging arms, steady fart beat, navigating obstacles. The mind stops spiraling into future catastrophes and manages the present moment instead. As Joyce Carol Oates wrote, "The mind flies with the body. Your brain is no longer driving." Brain imaging shows significantly increased frontal lobe activity after exercise, the region controlling executive function and emotional regulation. Regular physical activity stimulates neurogenesis, creating new neurons in the hippocampus, crucial for memory and emotional processing. Exercise decreases cortisol while helping anxious individuals become desensitized to panic-triggering sensations like elevated heart rate. Research on stressed mice revealed exercise promotes growth of neurons producing GABA, a critical inhibitory neurotransmitter acting as the brain's natural calming agent. people with depression and anxiety often show lower GABA levels, suggesting exercise restores optimal neurotransmitter balance. The runner's high isn't just endorphins. Research points to serotonin and anandamide, the bliss molecule. Studies show structured exercise programs reduced symptoms in schizophrenia patients by 27% and showed promising PTSD symptom reduction in veterans. Running offers both immediate anxiety relief and builds long-term emotional resilience. After months of local runs, Bella ventured into London's heart-crossing Thames Bridges, through Parliament Square and Soho. She ran until exhausted, then wandered without her usual stomach pit or breathing checks. She felt triumphant. Running helped her overcome 16 years of avoidance, taking the tube, traveling abroad. Couch to 5K's structure prevented overwhelming fear, allowing gradual progress. She created running adventures through London, visiting historical sites. On the Millennium Bridge, the city felt light and large and calm rather than threatening. But finding respite from misery can become addictive. Exercise addiction affects 3% of gym-goers and potentially 25% of amateur runners. Running was meant to enable a real life, not become her whole life. After years of fear, stability becomes something you guard fiercely. During panic episodes, she'd increase her routine, running twice daily and pushing harder, hating it but unable to stop. People start running to escape pain and regain control after life's ruptures. Whether heartbreak, grief, or major changes, running offers something controllable when everything feels chaotic. Peter ran 5 miles daily during 6 months of unrecognized depression. Even simple goals like running to the next lamppost provide tangible progress when emotional healing seems impossibly distant. When writer Katrina Menzies-Pike lost both parents in a plane crash, she turned to marathon training, finding that endurance can help turn elusive sorrows into something tangible. After her friend George died, Bella's running became punishing. Longer, faster, uphill, in rain, inviting physical pain to offset emotional agony. Cardiff University research explains this. Physical discomfort suspends normal brain activity, temporarily erasing the burdens of identity. Chris experienced this when both parents were terminally ill. Running gave him control through discipline, not endorphins. Running made me feel like I achieved something, even if the rest of the day was a shocker. Running with grief differs from everyday running. It prioritizes thoughts, brings perspective, connects us with our humanity. The solitude creates space for processing complex emotions, while physical exertion prevents overwhelm. Bella describes herself as a bad runner. Not terrible, just a bit crap. Despite running most days, she's never gotten much faster or completed a half marathon. But what started as escape has brought joy and confidence. She's discovered there's no right way to run, from the elderly man in short shorts jogging to the supermarket to the girl doing loops around a square. Her perfect run happens in the morning when feeling overwhelmed. The first 10 minutes always hurt, but then her brain detaches from her body. She can think about bigger picture stuff without panicking. Sometimes a good run means thinking about nothing at all. How often do we allow our brains to zone out without feeling unproductive? Managing mental health means running even when you feel happy or fine. Vigilance is key, checking in on emotions rather than assuming you're fixed. For beginners, start with Couch to 5K. Running clubs and parkrun offer community support. Go slowly, as slow as possible without walking. Mix running with walking. Take water. Use podcasts for distraction. If venturing out feels overwhelming, just loop your road. Everything counts. And here's the truth. Nobody is looking at you. Bella sometimes forgets she'll still feel anxious and low, but these worries are shadows of their former selves. They rear up, freak her out, then mostly slink away. Sarah, who has experienced recurring depression since 2004, knows stopping exercise signals a downward spiral. During one severe episode, a friend would drive her to remote locations to run, which made her feel alive again. Running provided a healthier alternative to self-harm, offering release from numbness. Running isn't magic beans. it can't protect against life's genuine sadness, but throughout tough periods, it provides a coping skill that helps get you off the floor. As Sarah says, when I run, I am fully present in the rhythmic pounding of my feet, the frantic beating of my heart, the wind against my face. So it really grounds me. Sometimes, the path to mental freedom begins with a single step forward, even when that step is taken in darkness, one foot in front of the other, one day at a time.